What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Seller Club Podcast, episode number 27. Life, does it exist outside of reselling? Maybe, maybe not. Let's drop that beat. What's up, everybody? Let's, Ken, Anna, this is Ken's favorite episode, favorite topic, we would say, right?
I mean, I've been mistakenly assumed that every other recording previously to this was going to be this topic. I'm probably excited about it.
Get nice and comfortable. This is the elusive fifth episode of the month for the way that the weeks fall. So it's kind of like this fun little liminal space where we get to do whatever we want.
Right.
Q5.
Yeah, the Q5 of podcast episodes.
Yeah. Get your popcorn ready. What are we talking about today?
Kenny? Anna.
What?
Dang, I should have said Glenn right at that moment. Passing it around.
Well.
Let me ask you this way. Are we going to talk about reselling?
No.
Well, no. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, contrary to the popular belief, we are actually humans that have normal life.
We do.
Outside of reselling.
I mean, normal, subjective.
Normal to us, right? That shouldn't be a word that comes out of Hustlebee's mouth.
I know. That sounds like settling.
Yeah.
You better eat those words.
Oh, I don't know if I could edit that out, but I have to leave that there. And that just goes to show you that sometimes, you know, my mental toughness forgets to filter words.
Now, we did talk about reselling being a addiction and things like that. So this is supposed to be about life outside of reselling, the things that we do. Mm-hmm. Goal oriented outside or just anything, chilling or hobbies?
I would say what has consumed the other portion of a time.
Yeah.
After reselling, I would say in the first quarter, right?
I think like of it in terms of time too.
Time,
like how do we actually spend our time? Like our time is our life, right? And. Yep. Normally, when we're all together, we are focused on the reselling parts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
how does that come into play with like hustle mode? To where like I know, hustle has become like
buzzword.
a cringy word. Mm. Now, at one point, it was the word.
I know it did. And
now, I mean, our social media names have hustle in it.
True,
because we were born in that era.
That's why and, I call you guys the Hustle Bros.
Yeah, Hustle Bros and Huckabee. And I just think that what's kind of funny though is that on Whatnot, for the people that don't know, like that have a YouTube channel, they're kind of like, "What is Hustler Hacks? Like what does that really mean?" And you're here selling products. Like, what is, I don't know, it kind of doesn't relate anymore. Like, if you're seeing it from, like, the outside, non-YouTube, it's weird.
Yeah, that is
interesting.
But going back to that, what I was trying to say with the hustle stuff, is like, you know, now it's a little cringy, a little weird. And is it still being pushed as hard? Probably not. I think people are kind of being told more and more, like, hey, take a break, you don't have to...
Yeah.
You know, list and source and do everything until your head explodes. You can take a break and it's good to be a human.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about today, I would think.
It is good to be a human.
It's
good to have a whole entire life.
It is true. Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, I think in the sense of like, you know, like I feel like it's either like you spend the rest of your time outside of reselling, outside of hustling. I mean, there was a point that the other part of the time that I had left was like trying to recover or trying to rest.
Because like you had to.
You had it was like you had to refuel. Yeah. And a lot of that is, in a way, could be unhealthy because I am now just, you know. Like last year, I really realized like I was just physically unhealthy because of when I tried to recover, you spend the least amount of time to get things done, aka drive-throughs, takeout, working out was like, man, that's like 2 hours of my time that I could use buying products or listing. So that's like a season, and I feel like everybody needs to go through a hustle mode, but I think this is a good conversation, is like, between all of us, we have gotten past the 5-year mark, mm-hmm. right? The 7-year mark. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at a point where all of us are like, have purchased like a house, kind of like you're not in a temporary state anymore. So now how do we spend the rest of our time to kind of like build a life, right? Because life is not just making money. Life is actually the rest is making money is, I would say, should be the least portion of it once you figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then the rest is living it. So I'd pass that to you, Anna. What's life been now that, especially you moving into this new house last year, what has consumed your life besides reselling?
It's a good question. I mean, we are like regular people, you know, we have households to run. I mean, definitely lots of like laundry, dishes, mm-hmm. grocery shopping, cooking, you know, taking care of my pets, trying to take care of my yard. Like, there's, like, yeah. all of that stuff. All that kind of, like, life maintenance kind of things. I mean, for me, moving back here to my hometown, closer to a lot of my family, I get to spend more time with my family. Like, once mm-hmm. a week, we have family dinner almost every week. And that that never happened for the last decade. So, that's really cool. My sister and I try to go swimming together once a week. Like, that's really fun, too. But, you know, we're part of other things in the community. Like, we're a big part of our church here, and we have friends that we like to spend time with, just kind of, like, living life and, you mm-hmm. know, building relationships in this community. So it's interesting. It's been interesting because there are a lot of people that we've known forever here already, but there's mm-hmm. also a lot of new relationships. And just like anything, I mean, if you want to have a quality relationship, like, it does take time and investment. So mm-hmm. we're definitely trying to prioritize that. But also, you know, for me, a lot of this past year and even last quarter, you know, we're still shuffling things around our house, trying to figure out how to fit into the spaces in our house the best. I can't tell you how many times I've pulled everything out of a couple of these weird closets that were, you know, mm-hmm. installed into the house way after it was built, because it was built in the 1800s. So, you know, they didn't really like have closets full of stuff back then too much. So, you know, just trying to sort out the spaces and kind of purge our belongings after moving and settling in a little bit. And also, like, doing projects, fixing up the house. We're always doing stuff like that. And, yeah, I love music. I write music a lot. I write theater kind of plays and dinner theater stuff. So there's always, like, creative projects happening, housework happening, and then just kind of the life stuff, right? The relationships, mm-hmm. the community activity type of things.
Right.
So it's like a big mishmash of all of that. And I write all of it down in a planner on paper because I can't keep track of all of that in my head.
She's really good at that.
Yeah, I mean, the planner's really good at it, honestly. Mm-hmm. No, okay. Alone, I'm really bad at it, which is why I use a planner. So,
What about you, Glenn? This year, what has been kind of like life about? And what has been kind of like, besides business, you know, can you elaborate more about, like, what are the next priorities that you've been up to?
Pretty much business and baby are the priorities. And so with baby comes all sorts of stuff. I know, I mean, Maybe she'll wake up at 2:30 a.m. Maybe 4:30 a.m. Maybe who's sleep through the night. Maybe not. So there's like different, you know, sometimes she'll just sleep straight through. It's like, all right, cool. But if she wakes up at 2:30, 3:30, it's not like, you know, my wife gets up, gets the bottle ready. But if she's crying, sometimes she just wants to be held and then, you know, give her a bottle and stuff. Sometimes she'll just be like on my chest and then I'm just there. And sometimes it's just kind of like, it doesn't, even though people would probably be like, man, getting up middle of the night and then you have to go and work out the next day or sores and work and do all these things. But there's just a time to where, like, when she is there on my chest, I'm like, she's not going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like happy and sad because it's kind of like, man, she's going to be like 2 and then 3 and then 4 and then just keeps growing. And so you kind of just have to like take in those moments even when you're dead tired. And so, you know, we have appointments that we have to go to every, you know, I think first it was like every month or two. Now I think it's like every 3 months or so. So it's not too bad there, but a lot of it comes into play with like groceries. I feel like I'm going to groceries way more now.
Right?
With like baby, with like, you know, diapers and all that stuff. Then we have the dogs, so the dogs get their own treats. They like minties. They like what are those?
Are they
like
actually
busy bones?
Really, are they really minty?
They are. They're green, and they just do tear right help into their teeth. Them. Yeah, it's supposed to help their teeth.
Have busy the dogs bones. Been? Have they been dethroned really hard by a baby?
I feel like they like one of our dogs, Gizmo. He's white. He's like really kind of scared when baby's like practicing her walks and stuff like that. My other dog, he's a pug and he's just like, he loves everybody, so he goes all around the house.
Pugs
so he,
are so sweet.
Yeah, so he's a good
will
pug
you do now. An impression of the pug?
I don't know. I mean, whenever he's eating in his bowl, he just like goes straight right into it. Kind of like that, and then he just devours it. That's probably like the closest thing I would say.
But I feel like that's how they sound all the time when they're just trying to breathe and like walk around. They're like so snarfy all the time.
Yeah. And when he's done with his food, I'm like, Kirby, there's no more food. And he's just like trying to like find any sort of last crumb, something there. But
I feel like he and my black cat Dobby would be best friends because seriously, yesterday we had already fed him dinner, he ate all of his food, and we were just nearby to where his food bowl was, and he walked right in front of us, went to the food bowl and started licking the bottom of the empty bowl and looking up at us and meowing, and we're like, are you kidding me? We know we just fed you like 30 minutes ago. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly. But
I'm like, the drama, like, I can't believe it sometimes.
So that's pretty much, you know,
live for their dinner.
Exactly. And they keep wanting more and they just look at you like, am I going to get something or not?
You're like, this is not healthy for you. For me to keep giving you food. Like,
there's a limit.
There are limits, yes.
Yeah. So that's the kind of episode we're having today. Life outside of reselling. What does that look like? Some people love these type of episodes. Some people don't. They're like, I just want straight reselling info. I don't want to know about anything else. But I guess for the people that do listen and anything that we have any feedback on, I would love to know what they enjoy.
For sure.
Outside of reselling. I feel like it is kind of hard sometimes, though, to turn that part off to where, like, like, I have never, you know, like, watching a full basketball game or watching a full football game. Like, I have not done. You know, like, it's very hard for me to sit there and watch something for, like, 3-4 hours. Then I don't know if that has to do with, like, there's a lot of things going on, or does it have to do with, like, the reselling part, eBay part, I could be doing something else part, I don't know.
I think so much of it, for me, is, like, just the habit of constantly checking in with, like, my phone to, like, send offers or accept offers or whatever. Like, I notice that so much when I go to the movies, especially when I'm seeing, like, a long movie. I always turn my phone off, like, all the way off in the movie theater. But, man, it's, like, inside me, I'm like a little excited, a little nervous when I turn my phone back on. Like, how many notifications am I going to have from eBay? Because I always have stuff to check.
Yeah.
And if you don't like intentionally set your device away from you or turn it off, like you're going to keep checking it, just unconsciously opening it and checking it. So, yeah, I feel like I have to have, like, physical boundaries with myself like that. Or I will just, like, check it constantly. I'm just such in the habit of it.
Yeah, I think knowing Glenn for this long, I think he's really good at that. At putting his devices away. He can probably expand more because it's kind of hard to get a hold of him.
He's just throwing shade at you for
really? Yeah, yeah. Whenever we do watch something though, like I don't look at it at all.
Yeah.
And you're like, whenever whenever we're, but even then I feel the same way. A movie, I'll look it up too. I'll be like, how long is this movie first before we watch this?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know, I can do like a 2-3 hour. Yeah. We do like a lot of documentaries, but okay, if they're like hour 20 minutes, that's cool. Doable. That's doable. Mm.
I think that's one of the things that I've had to relearn this year. I think just, you know, like the past, 2022 and 2023 was just a lot about like branding, marketing, videos, social media, and all that stuff. I felt like I got really, you know, borderline kind of like trigger happy with phone, that to a point that I always had it in my hand.
Yeah.
And this year, I think I'm experiencing the withdrawal of it early on, when I start really getting serious with Orange Theory, my the gym that I work out. At first it's like I would like hold my phone until the time of workout.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
and I was just kind of like, weird,
why am I doing this?
Yeah, and I was like, well, yeah, you're right, like literally that's what I said. And then I'm looking at everybody, it's like there's moms and dads here, they have kids that needs them and they don't have phones.
That's,
you know, me. I'm like, huh?
That's me. I don't have my phone at all when I work out. Like, it's just only that.
Right. So now what I've learned is, so now I'm trying to get there 15 minutes before class, and then I leave my phone in the car.
There we go.
I was like, the first few times I did it, I was like should I go back?
Just, and like, just feel check awkward. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And what I've learned is, just being me as a person, you know, I love talking to people. I love getting to know people. I'm like a very extroverted person. But I think with the phone in my hand, it kind of like made me not want to talk to people.
Mm.
Or it was kind of like people probably saw me. I was like, oh, this guy's just on his phone. And he's like, he don't care about anybody else, right? So I was like, I started doing that, I think, early this year. And then probably for a solid 3 months now, I've just not have my phone, and it was very freeing. And then now I feel like what Glenn feels, like all of a sudden I'm like, you know, all of a sudden like we have friends that would actually call JC, and say like, hey, have Ken call me, you know, because I've ignored their phone calls.
Yeah.
And them knowing that, like, I don't, you know, I usually have a quick response than usual. But I think that kind of like really like helped me kind of like understand. Like I heard Anna say this. Nothing in the eBay business is that urgent.
There's no emergencies.
Right. That's what you said, right? Like, and no, it's like, it's stuck with me. In this business, there's no emergency. It's like, wait, what have I been really doing? Like, I've just like been creating a fake urgency or emergency that couldn't be, you know, dealt with, you know, 15 minutes later. And it's not like I'm the only one, right? Like, I actually have JC that checks it too, right? Like, so like, if you think about it, like, we could check it every 15 minutes.
There's, and one like of us super would be not an emergency,
right? Yeah. One of us would be free for 30 minutes at a block, right? Yeah. If we want to schedule it. And I think that was really helpful. And no, to be honest, I think it made me open up to a lot more people. I start making friends. I start well, making friends.
Yeah, it's interesting you describe that as like you felt free, but the other, like, to take it a little further, even like you're not just free, you're actually available. Like,
yeah, that's true.
And we don't realize how much we are stymieing ourselves and especially our social interactions when we are just never actually available. Yeah. We mm-hmm. don't show up in our lives in the moment available yeah. when we have our phones all the time. Like, we yeah. don't. We just default to it. No, and we yeah. don't even realize that we're unavailable.
Yeah, because like my
talk
my
about opportunity kind of, cost.
Yeah, the other extreme belief that I've had was like, okay, like I only talk to five people and I'm only going to be available for them 100%, yeah. right? But like, am I just like really robbing myself of the opportunity of getting to know other people, learning from other people? And the crazy part that came out of this is now I have a friend I run with. His name
you
is
have
Bob.
A friend?
Yeah, that I run with. Like, literally run with. And we would literally, like, mirror Ken our speed. and, like, crazy part, he's, like, he's over 50. And what I noticed by getting to know him, this guy's, like, in a really good physical shape. And I'm, like, I would want to be at his physical shape when I'm that age. But I can't even get to his, you know, speed right now.
Yeah.
So for the last 3 weeks, I've mirrored him. So he usually, I was like at 5.5 to 6 mile per hour speed on the treadmill. And he was doing like 6.6. And I'm like, and every time I do it, I just like gas out. And then I start mirroring him. I mirrored him for 1 week and I was like, wait, like, this guy's really, you know, like, really good.
Because of, like, his pace or what?
Yeah, his pace is just good and his endurance is there.
Wow.
So I'm trying to adapt it. So after, like, a week and a half, I'm right there with him. Like, I can run with him. But what's happening is on the other side of half of the class is treadmill, half of the class is weightlifting. On the weightlifting, I'm, like, gassed out. And this guy's still lifting way heavier than I am.
Oh, my God.
I'm, like, so now we're literally, like, pushing and helping each other get better. So now I've gotten to push my speed to 7 is my minimum speed now.
Wow.
So now I'm going way faster. And just all of that just because, you know, steamrolled because me being free, me being able to talk to people, me noticing people.
Right.
And me, you know, it's just kind of weird, right? But that's how it's supposed to be, right? We say it's like, oh, that's a weird phenomenon. No, it's not. It's organic phenomenon that happens in our life if we become available and if we become aware with what's going on. So
yeah.
I think that's what I have been in the last 3 to 4 months is I've been aware of things that I block myself off because yeah. of I was just too focused and I've just, you know, didn't really make time for the other things in life.
I think our minimum contribution in any situation is our presence. And if your mind is not there, like, you're not really there. Your presence isn't there, you know? You're not contributing even the minimum. Like, you don't have to talk to every person or make other people feel comfortable or answer their questions or help them. But, like, if your body's there, be there. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. contribute your presence. That counts for a lot, actually. More than we think.
Mm-hmm. I know we're kind of talking about the, like, working out type of thing. Because Ken... But I remember at one of the live shows we asked, like, true or false, most resellers are unhealthy. And we ran like a poll.
How'd it go? And
I think like 90% said true. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And even then, I mean, like, is it because we are focused too much on the business side that we just don't want to pay attention to the health? Or is it that we're just unhealthy as a nation?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the general...
The environment, right?
Yeah.
The
environment around us. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it doesn't really have to apply to reselling. But so much comes into play there that, like Ken said too, it's like making money is important, but...
Yeah.
You know, at what cost, I guess, to your body? I forgot someone had done this something like down the road that they got older. I know they were just really focused on their business, but as they got older, it's like... they ended up using a lot of that money for their own doctor and hospital bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't, that's one of the things that you can't do after. You can't buy health back. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, I feel like health is one, what I've actually learned is the people that are very consistent in working out, and I forgot, there was a study, I'm probably going to find it and post the links down below, that their dedication to working out because of their health has direct correlation on how successful they are in life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
well, yeah, that makes me want to do homework for this episode. Like, I wish I had done this homework already, because this whole time I've been thinking about so many different studies that I've read about that are, you know, about productivity essentially, and how rest and like leisure time and relationships and like all these things that actually make us more productive.
Right.
Like, are so important, and kind of the face value message of like hustle culture, if you want to call it that, is like, just keep going, just keep grinding. And that's not actually even the most effective way. No. Like, it's not, like, we think it is, and to me, we've all been through this, right? That period of time, like you talked about, we've made it past the 5-year mark. We've all had some really intense years where we're like super focused, working in all the nooks and crannies of our schedules, getting our businesses going, and just like, you know, pumping product into our stores. Like, that does take a lot of time and a lot of dedication, which I think is totally admirable. But to me, putting ourselves through those paces and grinding like that, that's learning how to be in that mode. And now we have a choice about being in that mode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when we do kind of flip that on and go into like a little period or a shorter sprint of that, we can be really effective. But the rest of the time, we need to be focusing on like the actual life, right? The life that's the reason that we're doing this in the first place. The life that actually refills our tanks and kind of gives us back what we spend while we're doing that, you know?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, Glenn, you can comment on this because, you know, especially you're in a different kind of, like, season, that I believe that in each season of our lives, you can only experience it once. And I don't think the amount of money truly matters at that moment. Meaning, like, when I was younger, I felt like, I just actually said this to JC earlier. It's like, babe, like, I remember when I was younger, I was so fearless about the ocean that I was just gonna jump right off out of any boat that I was on and just head dive. And no, because I know it's deep, I know I'm not gonna hit anything, because if it's blue enough, there's no bottom, you know? And I told her, it's like, but our last vacation, I was actually swivel head looking for things that we could hit and like looking for other things. And she's like, babe, is it just, are you afraid of sharks? And like before, like I would want to chase sharks before. And I was like, I don't know what it is. But I think that's like the different, like, well, maybe because now you're thinking about it. Back then, it's like you really didn't have a lot to lose, or you didn't know a lot. Yeah. Now you know a lot, and you know, probably seen, like, you know, it's just like you've learned so many things that in a way that it's harder to be free of, just like even mentally.
The blissful ignorance is gone.
That's why I'm like, I was like, I don't want to jump out of the boat. I did jump off the boat once, but I remember like my knees shaking, and I was never that guy. And I was like, how did I become this guy? So I was like, different level. It's like, why? I should not be afraid. I got more money now. Or maybe I'm afraid because I got more money now.
Right? The stakes are higher.
So that's my take. I mean, like, now Glenn's, like, enjoying different avenues. Like he said, like, waking up early is fine, or, like, being disrupted in sleep because he's enjoying the time with the baby.
Yeah. I mean, it sound kind of like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Like,
I just watched that.
Okay, I'll like, watch that.
Remembering like high school days, like
the glory days.
The glory days. If I would have known what I know now, back then, I'm just kidding.
Are you making videos in your front yard with your
camera? Wow.
But no, I agree. It's just kind of like, what an, you know, you reference.
That was a gift.
That was a gift. You don't know. I mean, you've learned so much. So yeah, you do maybe experience things or attack things differently in your case, like you're saying. And going into the water, for example.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to swim, so I can't even relate to.
You could wade.
Yeah.
Unless I learn at the same time with baby, then wife's gonna have to.
You'll have to at that point.
Oh, that
you
would be so cute, Glenn. Yeah.
At that point, I have Glenn to.
Glenn and the baby having swim
with the floaties and
matching floaties.
Exactly. But yeah, every experience is going to be different, I think, as you get older as well, and figuring out what's important to you and what's not, and you start to eliminate things as well. I know there's like so many different, well, if you're close to family, you probably get invited to a ton of, I don't know, parties or events. If there's like a, let's say the family keeps growing, there's a ton of kids
there's always birthdays.
Then you got to decide, hey, what's important to go to or not important to go to, or you can't make it all to all of them. I mean, unless you are that family member that does, which those do exist. So for them, going to these events is extremely important to them.
Right.
And they have others that are like, well, I'll go to this one, but maybe not that one. So you're going to have to make that call. I guess what's important to you or not.
Yeah. I know. I feel like being a reseller, and having, and this was true before too. I mean, I had my own business before that in a different industry, but like same difference, you know, being self-directed and setting your own schedule more or less. It's like, it's kind of hard to constantly be weighing and deciding like what you're going to do. I mean, I prefer that to having someone else dictate it for me, obviously, or I wouldn't continue having my own businesses, but like, it is like, exhausting sometimes to try to like, you know, get everything to like fit together. And I don't know, I was just gonna ask you guys that actually, like, if there is anything in your life that maybe something you have really enjoyed or put a lot of time or effort into before that you don't anymore, that you wish you still had time for, or that you want to make time for in the future, or like a new endeavor or hobby or something that like you really wish that you had space for, that you want to be able to include someday. Like, I think in our super busy American society and lifestyle, like, that is a really common experience for people. But I just wondered, since we're all very self-directed and we are our own bosses and make our own schedules, like, I know I definitely feel that way. I feel like I need 50 hours in the day to do all the stuff I'm interested in doing because I have no chill. But what about you guys?
I want to hear about Glenn.
Well, it's kind of funny, though. Like, I used to, like, play NBA 2K a lot, or, like, Madden, or, like, you know, when I was, like, high school into college days. And, like, now I haven't played any video games in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be something, like, just, like, a relaxing thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just playing games or...
Yeah, like an actual leisure activity.
Exactly. Right. But not only that, now it's gotten to the point to where, like, well... You get the system, now you have to download the updates, and then now you have to, whatever game you get.
It's not a CD anymore, right?
Yeah,
right.
Like, I can't even just put in the cartridge, and it doesn't work, then I'll, you know, blow into it, like a Nintendo, and then put it back
what's
in.
What's up,
like,
Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't even do that anymore, so even then,
you
I'm like...
You can if you still have a Nintendo.
True, which, we did do that during 2020 and lockdown stuff, we did bring out the Super Nintendo, and...
Yeah.
Which, that's cool, but the new stuff...
We did too. I'm a savant at Dr. Mario.
I like Dr. Mario.
Absolutely crushed. Had never played it. John was so mad. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Dr. Mario is cool.
It's so fun.
So I feel like, do I even want to sit here and wait for this game to update or to load or to... I feel like, I just want to play.
It's like another thing to like maintain, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that about charging devices. It drives me nuts.
That's why I have charging docks everywhere.
I know. And I've seen that in firsthand, and it makes me want to do the same thing because ain't nobody.
That's why Anna has a Tesla, because.
LOL.
You just charge it when you get home.
My 2013 RAV Tesla. Yes.
Would that bother you if you had an electric car and you had to charge it every day, or? every other day, or I don't know how often you have to charge them. But
I don't think well, that
one.
Well,
yeah, you can charge it as soon as it gets parked.
Yeah.
But, you know, like get out, like
yeah, like in. I'm not even in, like when I have a phone that's not on the fritz or like about to die, like I don't mind just I just plug my phone in every night when I go to bed. That doesn't interfere with my life at all. But I just feel like, you know, some of our like security cameras are not in places where they can be wired in, and we have to like constantly be switching out the batteries or
true.
Like various like other technology things I have, or my extra phone that I used to shoot reels sometimes like has a really bad battery life and always has to be plugged into something. And yeah, there's just like a bunch of like little things like that that are just annoying.
Speaking of hobbies, one of the things that I really miss a lot, I used to work on cars a lot, and I think that's, I've said it multiple times, it was the sacrifice that I had to give out
for
because of what we're doing. And also it's just so expensive to accumulate all the tools and all the equipment to, you know, do something you want. So it's like, I feel like you have to pay, right? Like, for example, like just mounting tires. We used to, like, we could do it, you know. I know people, I have people, I have friends that have it. So we just have hang out and it's like, hey, let's change tires. Now I pay $150 to just get tires changed. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, that's expensive.
It's not like your own activity anymore.
No, I think it has to, you know, I feel like I want to get there, but budget wise it doesn't fit yet. So one of the things that we've found recently is, as Anna and Glenn have heard about, my fish tank. So
I was really hoping you were going to talk about the fish.
I want to talk about it because I think you know, everybody should either desire to do something new and different, and I think it was just me. I think it's been a long time coming. I talked about it in 2020. I watched all the YouTube videos in 2020 because I had time, but I just never executed on it. And that was like actually like when I wanted to do it, when I got it, I actually got disappointed about myself because I was like, it's not that hard. It's not that expensive. And it's, you know, like it costs one of, you know, if I really needed money, I'd sell one shoe and I would have paid for all of this.
Yeah. Coffee.
And I'm like, what in the world was stopping me?
Right.
You know, and come to realize that I think it has become like the, so it's been a month now, it became like the biggest stress reliever that I actually have in our living room. We actually have a bench that we put in front of the fish tank.
That so me you can and Jason sit would and
just
look? Sit
there and just look
I love
and just
that.
Get lost, you know, and not just that, it's more of like the process of learning it again. More of like, I've probably asked questions more the last 2 months than answered questions.
Yeah.
Between hobby and working out, the new hobby and working out, I've asked more questions. And it really have put me on a spot right now mentally where I'm like, I'm ready to figure more things out.
Yeah.
Within the business, within life, and with other things that are possibilities or what's close to getting happen. I mean, like me and I tell Anna, it's like, let's do that. That's not impossible. You know, like I've made that meaning because now I feel like before I was like, oh, I don't think that's too costly in time and money. But now I'm like switched to like, wait, we'll fly over there. We'll figure it out. Like we'll come up with something and you know, it's not a problem. I feel like there's a point that we become too quote unquote busy.
Yeah.
That we nullify any new idea because we're quote unquote great at what we're doing already.
Well, and creativity doesn't look efficient a lot of the time. Right?
True.
And you're true. Like doing this kind of in some ways totally unrelated hobby that's making you curious and creative and back in the position of like being the student again.
Right.
No. And that is like showing you this really wide open-minded perspective that, yeah, I mean, we intentionally, as we, you know, drill down and get really efficient in our businesses, like, in a way, we're being focused, but that's kind of focusing our view too. Like, that we're narrow-minded, but we're not really, we don't need to be considering this big, whole, wide open sky of possibilities anymore, because we're trying to reiterate on what's already working well. It's not a brainstorm at that point. You know what I mean? So, and when we're open to, like, creativity and problem solving, like, it doesn't look super clean step right. by step most of the time. It's like kind of a mess, and then it comes together at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I see it as a giant experiment, right? Yeah. Like, I think one of the things that I realize, you know, like, it's funny because, like, me and Jason's like, well, you weren't paying attention when they taught this in grade school.
You're like, no, I was talking bored.
Talking about photosynthesis, right? Yeah. And photosynthesis time for the plants in my tank. You know, and they need carbon dioxide and they produce oxygen to help the fish. And I was like, wait, that's so basic. I was like, wait, how can I'm, you know, produce CO2, carbon dioxide. And then I start researching, a byproduct of yeast and baking powder and sugar is constant CO2. And I'm like, so I actually have like a DIY kind of like system that I use sugar, yeast, and some baking soda to create CO2. So my plants are blooming because it has enough CO2 in the tank. So I'm like, wow. And I was like, and if you figure those out, it's just like, you know, you figure out the recipe. And I feel like that's what I'm doing with like whatever I see now. It's like, what's the recipe for that? And that's what we figure out in reselling, right? We figure out the recipe, good sourcing, good listing, right?
Yeah.
Good profit.
Right.
That's what it is. And once we figure that out, so I think that's one of the things about like hobbies or anything like that. What about you, Anna? Do you have like any hobby that you think of in the near future or like something that you want to redo again?
There's so many things.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, there's like an
endless. You gotta build a greenhouse?
Maybe. I mean, I do want to have a garden in my backyard.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you have enough space for it.
Yeah. Really quick, though, before I get into that, I want to give you my take on your fish tank.
Say it.
I think that this is your unconscious effort to overcome your fear of the ocean by controlling it.
That is a good take, though.
You're like, no, that's not.
That is a good take, but I'm not scared of any of these fishes.
Not any of those fishes. That's what I'm saying. It's known. Anyway.
Well, this is river. This is not ocean. That's like, that's probably why I don't have a salt water tank, because I'm afraid of ocean.
Ooh, okay. Well, I didn't know it wasn't a salt water tank, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Salt water. Salt water have bigger, ginormous things that could swallow you.
There are so many things that I want to do. I mean, you know, John and I like want to have a family, so that's mm-hmm. gonna take a lot of time and effort and resources in general.
You got Glenn now.
I know Glenn's gonna be my go-to advice. We'll both be awake at 2 a.m. like. But also, like, honestly, just so many things that I feel like are core parts of who I am. Like, I can never spend enough time like outside and doing things in nature to some degree, which people who have known me for a long time may not even like, they might be like, what, if they heard me say that, but I've just not prioritized that for such a long time. But like, I used to ride horses, I love like going on float trips, I love hiking, like there's so many things that I love that I haven't spent a lot of time on that, you know, I would love to be able to do more of. But honestly, the biggest category for me is just like creative projects. And I do, fortunately, I do get to do some of that now, but it's like never enough. I have an album that I wrote 4 years ago that I want to release that I just haven't even put out. Like, there's so much work that would go into that. And I write new music pretty frequently that I want to be able to like record and release my own music. And I'm, you know, I have a couple of pieces that need to come together for me to just be able to like walk into my office and do that. And also there's so many genius producers out there who know so much more than I do, and I'd rather work, you know, with somebody to do that kind of stuff too, even if I can do a rudimentary job myself, like, I like to collaborate with people,
right?
Obviously. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And then there's other things too. Like, I know I've mentioned on this show before, like, I write this Renaissance themed dinner theater show every year. Yeah. Okay. It's like a play basically. And you know, my friend and I have been writing those for years, like since we were in high school. Almost every year we've written a show. And so we have this huge catalog of shows, and we really want to make them available to other programs and like publish them. That takes a lot of effort. That's like another thing that's like, we have actually figured out how to do that. Mm-hmm. But
yep.
There's like a whole process for like every single show that we now have right. to do. So all that just takes time and, you know, more networking and building connections and figuring out how to market this to this very niche type of program that there are tons of all around the country. But, you know, that's another thing, too. So I feel like there are things from my childhood and being a farm kid and being outside that I really want to get back to more. Even gardening is part of that, too. And then there's like a lot of creative stuff, and then there's a lot of like family stuff. So if anybody knows how to create more hours in the day, let me know.
Yeah, I know.
But I do think that's a reason to like, A, kind of stick to our guns and continue to try to be more efficient and try to get better ROI on all of our efforts with our businesses, but also to not think that we have to arrive at a certain benchmark before we can like actually do some of that stuff and like live our lives. Like, we have to live our lives along the way.
Yep.
Life is to. It's happening now, you know, like the years are gonna pass regardless, so we have to honor those things too,
I guess. Like, be maybe like a one last thing we can kind of talk about before we go is like, what about hobbies that turn into possible side hustles? Like,
yes, are those, you just problems? Accidentally monetize your hobbies every time.
I know, like, is that a bad thing though? Like, what if you should just relax and you can't because you're like, okay, I'm playing video games, but what if I want to become a professional gamer?
Are you thinking about that?
No, but I'm thinking about, is that a problem? Like, what if what if you're just those people that you can't relax to where you see everything turning into a possible profession type of
thing? Well, I used to be that. I used to be like, oh, how can I buy this cheaper and sell it for more? And crazy enough, I haven't done that with the new aquarium hobby.
Did I just see you reach over with your cursor and cancel the order for Ken's fish store sign?
That you did? Right, right.
Never mind, guys. You're not going to do it.
There's been so many, like, success. Because I've been, you know, I've binge-watched, you know, hours. Probably 1,000 hours right now already. You know, just in one of the things that I figure out. Yeah, fishes and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the things I figure out is, like, when they start interviewing like employees in the store and stuff like that, what I realized is like, I actually considered the thought of working at a fish store part-time.
To learn
and to enjoy the hobby.
Yeah.
And not be like, not feel like, oh, you're a waste. It's wasting time. But right. It could be a fact like, wait, I probably could get discounted products. I probably could, you know, like kind of like just like, for your own supply, kind of like, you know, the thought of like, I never thought about working at a shoe store, but because I know I'd buy too much and I'd lose money. But like the aquarium store, it's not that, because you can only put too much fish in one tank, right? Like, it's like, but there's just more to appreciation.
You can always get another tank. I mean.
Yeah, right. Like, I've thought about it and everything like that, but it does, you know, it's not that. So like, maybe that, I've thought about that. What about you guys? Have you thought about like maybe possibly, or even like quote unquote interning or just like volunteering work or something like that? I mean, like, is that a thing that we all should try?
Volunteering?
No, volunteering or just work part time to get to do a hobby that's already kind of like, okay, if I went to a fish store, there's already 50, you know, 100 tanks set up. Then I don't have to set up 100 tanks.
Right.
I can enjoy 100 tanks
right.
being there. You know, like, so that kind of cancels the cost up front to what it feels like to take care of 100 tanks, you probably realize, like, I don't want this. You know, I don't want this expense, or I don't want this time suck, quote unquote. But...
Well, I don't know, because all the other stuff that comes to play, like, you're not just going to be able to take care of the fish and kind of relax like you would at home. Now you're, like, I don't know, now charging people whenever they're trying to buy something, or now you're trying to upsell because they have a certain quota to hit, and I don't know, it's, like, not, now it's not part of the hobby, it's into the job. Which is kind of like what we talked about at the very beginning, was like, do you want to do this to where it becomes a job or your profession instead of just a chill hobby?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes there are some ways, though, where you can, it can take the pressure off. Like, you, like, this is a big,
if you don't own the business, right? It takes the pressure off.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about creative stuff, too, like, in artist circles, like, you know, it's kind of like, the, like, there's a conversation that, that's, you know, oh, well, are you, like, a legitimate artist if you don't get paid for your art? But then a lot of artists are like, I don't want that kind of pressure on my art. Like, I don't want to have to crank out, you know, whatever, or just perform on the spot. Like, I want my art to, like, have the space to grow over my lifetime and be what it's supposed to be, and not demand that it pays my bills. Like, there's, like, a big conversation about that in kind of creative circles or whatever. Right. But I think it's true for a lot of things. Like, I was just thinking, you know, what if you, like, this isn't necessarily our lifestyle, but, like, what if you're somebody who works on the road, or you travel all the time, and you really would love to have a pet, but it's just not practical, but you could volunteer at an animal shelter and enjoy, you know, like,
being around
being around basically pets and not have, like, the commitment of having one in your house and paying for its vet bills. And, like, there's trade-offs there, obviously. Right, it's not the same as having your own pet, but, like, you could do that, and it would, it would, like, help, you know, it would kind of address that desire, at least in some way, without having to, like, own it or whatever.
What about you, Glenn? Have you thought about anything like that? Work at a toy store again, or at GameStop?
Toys R Us!
Work at toy store again. I don't know. I think my issue would have to be, like, more hobbies and stuff to do with family and spending more family time, less reselling type of thing. But with my baby being so small right now, I mean, one thing that we are doing is, like, buying coloring books and stuff like that, because that I am looking forward to. Like, really want to play board games and coloring books. And
color with her.
Yeah, like, that stuff I do want to do, but I can't right now because she's too small. But that's so something that I am, those are hobbies I'm looking forward to.
But you wouldn't try to monetize those.
Yeah, exactly. There's no monetizing.
No.
Maybe, the board games or the coloring.
Maybe when she starts beating Glenn.
Yeah, at the start.
See, John is, like, you know, a comic book action figure collector. He loves original art from comic artists. Like, he's all about it. And I'm like, maybe you should monetize your hobby and, like, open a collectibles store, because then you could, like, have all, you could be surrounded by all this stuff that you love and not just be, like, always, you know.
See, but that's the thing, even with sneakers, right? Like, we, you know, I started as a hobby collector.
Yeah.
And it became to a business. Now, actually, you know, I'm gonna admit it, that it kind of, like, lost its flavor already. That if like, if you ask me any of my sneakers, I would sell it to you at market or 10% under market. I'm not gonna be hurt about it.
It's just not as personal.
It's not as personal because, like, you know, it's kind of like you get numb to it. I think Glenn did it first. And I was like, oh, come on, don't lose it, bro. And then,
Glenn is mature.
Yeah, he's just...
He's an old soul.
He's an old soul.
Yeah, but... but I think that's what I don't want, right? For, like, my love for the aquarium now and the planet tank to develop into, like...
Yeah.
If you're trying to monetize it, then you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to box it in. And then now, okay, because now it's like, okay, am I really making this worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
And what I've heard, a lot of the people that have done it well in the hobby, that kind of like has 4 to 10 tanks. And they start. That's a lot. That sounds like a lot. Yeah, yeah, but this is their like, this is like when they get home. This yeah. is like kind of like, this is their garden, right? This is their garden.
Right, right.
It's kind of like you, if you put up a garden, like at what point, big right? if,
we'll see.
Right, right. You get, and then what, basically what they're doing is like, they get into start trading different fish, like something that I don't have. So they start specializing on a certain breed. It's like, okay, I have 10 of these. And
gotta catch and, them all.
Yeah, and then, and I've heard this so many times. They sell enough to just pay for the hobby.
Yeah.
And I was never been that guy. I always invested more.
Yeah. You're like, why barely cover my costs when I can
skyrocket? Yeah. So, yeah. So maybe that could be the balance. Ooh, the balance of a hobby. Or maybe the limitation of a hobby. Would you agree that the limitation of a hobby should just be able to pay for itself and not monetize it, because once you start monetizing it, it loses its flavor.
I think yes and no, but I also think that isn't that kind of the issue that we're kind of talking about in on hand that like everything has to have, because of technology now,
right,
is like documented and recorded and everything. So like if you just had your own, you know, tanks and not know what anybody else is doing, you know, their own hobby.
Yeah.
Then you would just be in your own realm.
Zone. Right.
Just like ignorantly like, enjoying your own.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like, oh, this is the greatest tank ever, right? Because you've never seen any other tank, right?
But now it's like you go to the gym, people are recording. Mm. And then you're, oh, here's collection on shoes.
Right, collection on
fish and tanks and aquariums and stuff. Here's that's like
true, huh?
It's kind of crazy.
Did social media ruin hobbies for everybody?
Yeah,
else?
See?
Oh,
unless your hobby is photobombing everyone's videos.
Then, that's your hobby.
That then sounds you're, like a pretty a fun hobby, actually.
Then you could definitely master.
Wow. That actually is are really a deep question that
you can collect anything now and it's on social
right with
media.
Anything right like even with your family life or with the way you go out on dates right now if there's ads or there's influencer for everything and then the influencer sets the quote-unquote standard for a fun date.
Well, even just now, like curating your own feed.
It does.
That's
like now,
a collection.
Like, yeah, now my feed is like how to run and how to, you know, like a fashion show for runners. And then now I'm like, I'm glad I just wear a black t-shirt every gym, so I don't care about that. That is true.
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy at this point on the hobby side. That is
hard.
Social media
because hobby becomes like a bragging rights for some reason.
I know, exactly.
Well, it became like the keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, all of it boils down to comparison. Whether you're inviting other people to compare themselves to you or you're comparing yourselves to them.
Well, I'm glad I haven't posted my tanks.
You're like, these tanks are just for me.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be close enough to see it in person.
I mean, some things have to remain sacred, right?
Yeah, exactly. That is true.
Well,
that is true.
If you like this weird episode where we didn't directly talk about reselling, great. Now you know a little bit more about us as people and the whole rest of our lives. But I think the good news is if you didn't like it or if you did, we are going to be like hammering down on some business stuff in the next 10 mini episodes.
Oh yeah.
If this was not your flavor, don't worry, we're coming at you with some really like intense action-packed minisodes in the next
reselling minisodes.
Yes,
minisodes. Glenn's just full of thoughts tonight and questions, but it's a good episode, I think.
And if you didn't like it, we're not gonna apologize, so
No.
This is us.
Yeah, we're all friends, and we all like to be friends and talk about our lives, too, so.
Yeah, yeah. So
this is part of how it works.
Yeah, you have to like your co-host and get to know your co-host before you start a podcast. I think that's that's a must. But guys, I think, you know, that was a good conversation. You know, encouraging everybody that it doesn't have to be this or that. It could be, you know, all of things that makes you smile. It should be a harmony of all the things that truly means something to you and to you, not what people tell you should mean to you.
Yes.
None of that comparison game. I think we have to be mindful of that. I think that was a good call out at the end of this, that the social media world, or even, I mean, the media world will dictate this. You have to buy this, you have to buy that to be, you know, a part of this, a part of that. But, you know, I think we're all wired differently and we all like different flavors of ice cream. I think none of us like the same flavor of ice cream to begin with anyway. So treat life like that. Get the flavor of ice cream you want, and we'll end it from here, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Bye.